Weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. This week is another installment of our ongoing County Close-Up series. We're zooming in this week on Wayne County, and here with me to dig into what's going on in Michigan's most populous county is Wayne County Executive Warren Evans. Executive Evans, welcome to Mishmash.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
There's a lot to get into when it comes to Wayne County, but let's start here. Talk about why people outside of Wayne County should care about where you live. How does what happens in Wayne affect the rest of the state?
Well, I think it does a lot. I mean, maybe more regionally, but clearly when you get the biggest, both the biggest city in the state and the most populous county, it's a big indicator for whether Michigan's growing, not growing, and what some of the fundamental ills of big cities and big counties are. So, I mean, I think we're all joined at the hip. I mean, maybe more regionally when it comes to economic development and that, but at the end of the day, you know, the big attraction that's important for us is to attract businesses from outside of Michigan to Michigan. And if that's the case, then we're really all in it together.
You gave a State of the County address in March, and in your speech, you remarked how your office was able to dodge bankruptcy, tackle previous inefficiencies, and really transform the county into a financially sound government. What are the areas that haven't been tended to, and what are your plans to address those spots?
Well, I think the finances have been attended to. I think when you get here, we went from junk bond status to an A bond rating by the rating agencies, but you know, we want to make incremental movement north even from there. So, you know, I won't be totally comfortable until we're AAA bond rating. And then the reality is run your county in such a way that we don't backslide. So financially, I think we're in good shape. There's some other indicators of things that we really could improve, you know, public health. If you look at indicators, as long as I can remember, Wayne County has always been the county that had the poorest scores in terms of, you know, chronic health problems and those sorts of things. And I think those are things that we can attack and things we need to attack if we can do it systemically. So that's a big priority. The other priority for me in the county is to really make some substantial improvements in workforce development so that now, as we attract businesses and bring in jobs, we actually got trained people to be able to take those jobs. And that's always a challenge, but COVID made it a much more significant challenge. Those are probably the top two priorities. But for me, staying on top of county government and making sure we're doing things as effectively and as effectively and at a cost that is not hurting our taxpayers.
You mentioned public health, and that was an interesting part, I thought, of your State of the County. You said that you plan to target chronic illnesses and invest $60 million in the county's health department using federal funds through the American Rescue Plan. Talk more about why chronic illnesses specifically are a concern for you.
Well, obviously they're concerned because it hurts Wayne County citizens and to a large extent people in distressed communities and, you know, people who are around those kinds of industries that, you know, we give lip service to wanting to have because they create jobs. But the truth of the matter is they also create emissions and other things that are not good for the public's health. And so we know that's important. And we think there are some opportunities to particularly target in a very sensible sort of way what companies and what areas and what particulates are in the air that are problematic. And then hopefully we can sit down with those industries who we know are viable industries, but see what we can do to make there less hazard, less opportunities for kids, for example, to get asthma and chronic respiratory problems. That's not something that any of us want. And it's not something that that citizens deserve because of where they live.
You also mentioned COVID. Obviously, the last few years have really been dominated as far as attention goes in a lot of different counties by responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. How has the pandemic changed Wayne County? And is there any ways that it has maybe helped the county grow or sort of see the weak spots that it can address?
Probably see the weak spots. I mean, one of the interesting things about COVID is it certainly has hurt everybody in terms of workforce, both numbers of people and people with top-notch skills have found a far more competitive market. And so getting good employees has been difficult. However, I guess on the bright side is you evaluate your management a little better. You know, we had people who were off at the early part of COVID for 6 weeks or so and didn't have a real workforce other than our public safety components. And through time, you know, people started coming back to work a little bit. But what we really saw was a lot of people do very, very well working offsite. Working from home, the ability to be able to be closer to your kids if they're infants or take care of loved ones or others. I mean, the productivity has been wonderful in some cases, and other people, quite frankly, need close supervision and don't do much of anything when they're not in the office. Overall, we didn't have a big hit on our productivity, which gives you some things to think about, and we're trying to work through that now. I mean, I didn't want to make a rapid change of people having to come directly back to work because, I mean, people develop a lifestyle if they're working from home, whether they intend to do it or not. And, you know, I'm trying to not to be any more disruptive than I have to be, but I'm trying to get the county's work done. So we've learned a lot from it, I think, just in terms of our adaptability and the ability of management to go left, go right, and fix concerns and evaluate just how well we produce our product.
In March, during that State of the County speech, you declared a public health emergency at the Wayne County Juvenile Detention Facility. You said it was overcrowded and understaffed and that many of the youth there shouldn't actually be there. They should be in outside residential facilities for treatment. Stays at the detention facility have lengthened recently, and they've been known to have dozens more youths than they are supposed to have. Why declare this a public health emergency?
It's a public health emergency because the kids are not receiving the level of care that they should receive. And I mean, the fundamental role of government, I don't care where it is, when, is to protect your citizens. And those are citizens in the juvenile detention facility. And they're not, because of those factors that you mentioned, the overcrowding and the shortage of beds, are not getting the treatment that they should. Many kids have mental health issues. There are kids with medical issues. All of the kids should have educational issues. We want to provide a solid education. For a myriad of those reasons, we saw the need to declare the emergency. And obviously what the emergency does is allow us to be more tactical in our approach to solving the problems and not quite as bureaucratic as government just generally tends to be. And it's starting to work. The population is starting to come down. The courts have been very, very helpful in helping us to reevaluate some of the kids that are there and find ways to step them down either into, you know, electronic monitoring or into some community-based program where they go home at night, but are actively involved during the day, so they are not committing crimes, and those sorts of things. At the end of the day, we are a juvenile detention facility that is only supposed to hold children until their case is adjudicated, and then they move on. The reality is, you know, dozens and dozens of kids haven't moved on as the plan is supposed to be, and that is a state responsibility. But, you know, I can call it a state responsibility all I want to. As long as the kids are in my care, I have the responsibility for doing the best I can for them.
How do you prevent this type of emergency from happening again? Are plans in place to remedy the overcrowding and overall shortage of residential placement facilities in Michigan? You mentioned it's kind of a state and county problem. Are you working with people in the state to to try and fix this long term?
We are. And it's one of those things that you have to fix and stay on top of, because when you run into a shortage of beds for whatever reason, facility closes down, or there are not enough staff people because of COVID, you don't gear up overnight. You know, you have to do capital improvements on other facilities. You have to do repairs. You have to hire people. And so when it gets to an emergency level like we are now, it is very, very painful, because we're dealing with those children 24 hours a day, every day. And while there is a plan to bring beds online, we know that that plan is going to take months. And so the crisis lingers. It does get better, and we are making progress. And we're also finding organizations that can come into the facility and volunteer their time and expertise to give us some assistance. And we're really working at it, and we're making progress, but it is very frustrating, because, you know, these kids are an important component of our communities, and these kids deserve better than they're getting. And we won't rest until that happens.
Moving on to some environmental issues, your office made great efforts to pressure the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, to stop the shipments of toxic waste from the recent train derailment that happened in East Palestine, Ohio, to Wayne County. But there are still imports from other states and Canada. Are those shipments monitored, and do they pose a risk to local residents?
Great question. I guess I don't have technical data to answer that. My gut feeling from what I've seen is the hazardous waste facilities are not inspected with the frequency that I think they ought to be in order to assure the public that they are following policies and protocols. And I say that because when they do get inspected, quite often there are violations found, and EGLE, the state agency, you know, deals with that and gets them back online or whatever happens. But I think the real question is, how often are they coming out to inspect the facilities in the first place? And how are those funded? It is my understanding that most of the EGLE personnel that do this work are actually funded by tipping fees from the people that are dumping the toxic waste there. That to me is not an adequate way to do it. I mean, the tipping fees may be helpful, but there ought to be a budget such that the toxic dumps that we're the most concerned about are inspected on a regular basis and action taken based on what they find in the inspections. I don't know whether the inspections would be fruitful or not, but I think they need to occur. And I think the past history is, when those inspections are done, more often than not, violations show up. And so if they're not being run as carefully and safely as they should, we need to put more resources into making sure that they are.
Toxic waste is obviously a topic that has really been in the news lately because of that derailment. Is this something that residents of Wayne County should be concerned about? And is this something that is sort of being actively looked at?
Yeah, it's actively being looked at. And with our congressional delegation on that, we are having EPA and others in to explain just what they're doing and what their plans are going forward. I think Wayne County residents should be concerned. I don't think they should panic. I don't think there's that, but I think the concern is a healthy thing. I mean, that's how you keep a system honest. I mean, at the end of the day, the people are disposing of the hazardous waste here because it's a business, and they're in business to make money. And we all know when there's too much focus on the money and not enough focus on properly running the business, bad things happen. And so I think we're asking the right questions, but I think there are areas that need to be tightened up, both in the transport of the toxic waste and checks on the levels, and how well the people who work in those facilities are actually carrying out the protocols that have been deemed necessary to keep it safe.
What can other counties learn from Wayne County?
I don't know that we ought to be teaching other counties anything, but I do think that we ought to understand, we ought to assume that where there is the possibility of dangerous situations like, you know, toxic dumps and those sorts of things, let's just assume that it needs more regulation than it has. And I think if you start with that assumption, you're asking the right questions and you're looking at the right things, it may be okay. But from my experience in government, which spans almost a half a century, quite often it isn't. And so having a healthy skepticism, I think, is probably good for all of us.
What are some things that people should be on the lookout from Wayne County in the upcoming months through the rest of the year? Are there any big things and exciting things going on in the county that people should be gearing up for?
I think the county is consistently growing and getting very, very much better. We have 43 different communities in Wayne County, all of them kind of separate and distinct in many ways, but connected well. I mean, our park system is one where you could be at the southernmost part of Wayne County and get on a bike and come all the way to the northernmost. Lots of areas to canoe and kayak and, you know, outdoor park activities that are growing and changing with the demographics of the people in the county. I mean, you know, I ride through the park sometimes, lament the fact I don't see people on baseball fields like I used to. The baseball fields were lined up. Not that people aren't using parks, it's that the parks have to adapt to the changing needs of people. And the older I get, the more I realize that parks are also very, very health related in terms of helping you keep yourself in a condition that can ward off, you know, both injuries and illnesses.
Wayne County Executive Warren Evans, thank you so much for joining me here today on Mishmash.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr., who helped me out a little bit extra on this episode. The best questions that you heard, obviously, came from him. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional support from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review. Or if you really, really, really like this podcast, and we really, really, really hope you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, honestly, we could not do any of this. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.